hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells a parable about a landowner who has come to collect his portion of the crop that his tenant farmers had contracted to pay him. The problem is that the tenants conspired to break their contract and keep the crop for themselves. The landowner sends his own hired hands to enforce the contract, but the tenants revolt and beat up, murder, and execute the employees. Rather than calling the law enforcement, this landlord sends his own son to make sure the contract is carried out. But the tenants have another idea. They feel if they kill the son, the landlord will have no choice but to make them heirs to the land. For the landlord will surely not endanger himself to reclaim his land. What they fail to realize in their greed is that the landlord would lease the land to others and drive the rebellious tenants off. Let's see what Jesus was alluding to. In this morning's Isaiah reading, Israel is the beloved vineyard set on a very fertile hill. The ground was well prepared, but it only produced sour grapes. The hedge and the wall will be torn down, and the vineyard will become a wasteland. Again, in the Psalm, Israel is compared to a vine. God prepared the land, planted the vine, Israel. The psalmist questions, why have you broken down the wall? So when Jesus told this parable, the Pharisees were well aware of the message within the parable. You see, the landowner is God, the Father, and the tenants are the Israelites, while the landowner's servants were the prophets. You see, nearly every time God sent one of his prophets to remind the Israelites of their contract with him, they would either beat up, stone, or kill the prophets outright. Now keep in mind, a prophet is not necessarily someone who predicts the future. Biblical prophets usually reminded the people of the covenant they had made with God. The prophets revealed God's promises to these people. Most of the time, when a prophet had a warning for the people, they had a choice to make. God never sugarcoats the outcomes, and it was eventually the people and the rulers' own decisions that sealed their fates. Unfortunately, a number of the rulers, whether it was the kings or priests, felt that if they killed or stifled the prophet, that they could remain ignorant of the punishment God had for them. So much loved the tenants in this parable, who felt that the landowner needed them more than they needed him. What Jesus was telling the Pharisees is that God had a covenant or a contract with them, and they have consistently reneged on that contract. Now it's time for me to make a contract. Now it is time for God to make a contract with someone else to share his fruits with. You choose to ignore him. You have taken advantage of the law for your own benefit, and you interpret the contract to meet your personal needs, not the needs of the whole nation. So now I will turn my vineyard over to those who have not known me before in the hopes that they will bring in a harvest and serve me. God did not break his promise with the Jewish people. The Jewish leadership and the people broke their covenant with God. And like a parent with a difficult child, God disciplined Israel a number of times. God has also taken back his children when they repented. What does this parable mean for us today? You see, we are the new tenant sharecroppers of the Lord. God has turned the keeping of the vineyard over to us. And what are we growing or taking care of in this vineyard? What kind of fruit are we called to bear and cultivate? Are we not called to share the gospel? Are we not called to develop our spiritual faith and help others come to the Father's love and forgiveness? What many people either forget or never fully understand is the depth of God's love for us. Many people feel that because of the things they have done in their lives, God could not possibly love or forgive them. However, God does love them, and he will forgive them if they truly ask him into their lives. It is up to us as his sharecroppers to help cultivate them and to bring out their fruits so that they too can be heirs to the kingdom. We need to remember that we are tenants, not privileged landowners, that our inheritance came at the cost of the landowner's son. It also comes with a contract to each of us that we are to raise a good crop of spiritual gifts among us as a congregation. If we are negligent in our duties as tenant farmers, if we withhold the spiritual gifts that come from the Father, or we do not share with others the love that God has for them, or if we think that we can do it alone without God in our lives, then we too will eventually find ourselves outside of the vineyard. We must remember that the church belongs to God. This building belongs to God. This altar belongs to God. All of us belong to God. In fact, the whole world belongs to God. We are sharecroppers for God, and what we give to God is already His. It is a gift from Him to us. Remember also that even though it is God's church, God chooses not to act alone. Instead, every Christian is invited to be an active part of it. He calls every Christian to be workers in His vineyard, His church, His kingdom. Now, this is not an option. You can either be a good worker or a bad worker. Being a worker for God is a privilege, a gift to each one of us. What we specifically do will vary, and where we work for God will vary. However, something important to remember is that everything you have is for sharing God's good news. A problem occurs if we don't see what God has given us as God's, but rather think we are doing God a favor when we give a little of our time or money or share some of our skills. Whatever you have, whether it be a job, an education, money, home, friends, family, time, skills, a particular gift, even enemies, or anything else, the main reason God has given you these things is to share His love and forgiveness, to be His light in the world. We need to listen to God. We need to spend time in prayer, spend time in reading His scriptures, to worship Him not just when it suits us, but also daily and weekly here at church. We need to engage with each other in discussing scripture. When we try to do these things without prayer, study, and worship, we are acting like the wicked tenants, thinking we know best. Recognizing and listening to God constantly is essential for every Christian. When we do these things, it shows our commitment to receiving God's guidance for ourselves as individuals and as a congregation. And remember, what God has in store for us is far better than anything that we can devise or think. God takes big risks in allowing people to be responsible for sharing His good news. I would like to quote from a sermon by Pastor Ronald Harbaugh, I'm not sure what denomination, but this was a little thing he had about this scripture. A couple of weeks ago, I hosted a meeting of our long-range planning committee. As we discussed several issues, there seemed to be a ton of pessimism surfaced about the future of our congregation, which one member, before she had to leave, dropped a challenge. That challenge has stuck with me like a knife in my side. She simply said, "I know that we are small, that we have fewer children in our Sunday school, but I want to see a more optimistic view of the future. I think we are a great congregation and have something to offer the community." And I agree with him. Thus, I came to the final points, of this message. First, I believe God does expect a return on His investment. I believe that God expects us to produce fruit in His vineyard. In other words, we are working to bring people to faith in Christ. We need to tell the story, to invite people to join us in worship and to raise their children in faith. This means bringing our children to Sunday school, that they might at least have the knowledge to make an informed decision about affirming the faith of their baptism. To me, this is what it means to return to God the dividends that He deserves. In truth, the truth is, we do have a congregation. But unless we continue to work and invite others to join us, to share the message of God's grace with others, sadly, the kingdom may be taken from us. Secondly, God has been very patient with us from the beginning of creation. As I read this parable in the context of all Scripture, the patience of God is one of the most beautiful examples of grace that can be demonstrated. God is patient. He waits on his return for his gracious gift of life. And he waits some more. He sends his servants, his prophets, even his own son. But all are not taken to heart and received with thanksgiving. After all, we have our own agendas to embrace. Although it is not an easy task, God gives us the power to overcome our temptation to claim the vineyard as our own. Through the readings of our lessons, through the proclamation of this sermon, and in the context of this service, God's Spirit is at work to remind us of our role to be Christ's servants. And as we recall the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are reminded of God's redeeming grace, which he can give us the courage to work for God's kingdom. So think about this and ponder it in your hearts. How can I use whatever God has given me to help others know about his love and his forgiveness? Amen.